Hello there, Piss Freaks. Tom Dekar here. Thanks for listening to the show. And just a quick heads up, me and Tommy's Caroline show has been moved from January 25th to February 8th, still at 9:30 p.m., and we'll have Emmy Blotnick, Monroe Martin, and more. And also, if you're not already part of our Patreon club, the Piss Freaks Extraordinaire, get on over there for bonus episodes and more. Patreon.com/standbyyourband. Enjoy the show. Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Stand By Your Band, the podcast where people come on to defend music that they like that other people shit all over. Shit upon, I should say. I'm Tom Dekar, and I'm joined, of course, by my co-host, the king of the zing, Tommy McNamara.
I liked that intro until you it was almost your most succinct, and then you changed shit all over to shit upon.
Oh, you didn't like that, huh?
Nope.
Well, why don't you intro the fucking podcast?
I would love to.
Oh, wouldn't you?
Yeah. Welcome to Stand By Your Band, the show where Tom sucks.
Oh, what the fuck? Get the fuck off my podcast. All right. We have a wonderful guest today. We're joined by Doug Smith.
Ooh, and boys.
We're going to be talking about Kings of Leon soon enough. How you doing, Doug?
I'm doing okay. I apologize ahead of time. I have a cough drop in my mouth.
That's fine.
Podcast first. We're getting a lot of clicking and clacking.
Oh, shit. Not unlike your favorite band, Kings of Leon. You come on, you're a diva. How's your day going? How was your snow bomb?
Snow bomb was fun. I get some money knocked off my rent for taking out the garbage and shove. I'm basically like the superintendent of my building.
Nice.
It's only 400 units in the building, so it's really not that much work.
How much money are they kicking off this thing?
$200 a month.
That's crazy.
Tommy, why don't you go out there with a damn shovel sometimes?
But when that bomb cyclone hits, you know, you got your work cut out for you.
That's true.
Shoveling all day.
Is it 200 every month, or is it just in the winter?
200 every month.
God damn.
Yeah.
That's a good deal.
You still have to shovel, right? Even if there's no snow.
Yeah. Shovel dirt. You dig a shallow grave every every week. Well, that's pretty sick, except for, you're stuck in it. I drove. It sucked. We talked about it on the last one. Did you have a fun New Year's Eve?
I have a two-year-old. Couldn't find a babysitter, so I was in bed by 11:30. It was fantastic.
I missed the ball dropping. I was in Times Square and I didn't see it.
Yeah.
Because it was too cold.
Yeah.
I was drunk. I was at Caroline's for it and I had the weirdest experience. I don't think we talked about this. I think I was going to bring it up on an earlier episode and then I stopped. But I had an experience that I can't stop thinking about where at the early show, I was doing a joke and what I thought was a lady yelled out, "He nasty!" after one of my jokes. And I was like, I thought it was the funniest thing ever, so I started doing an impression of this lady being like, "Oh, he nasty. He's so nasty, I'm going to have to fuck his ass." And then it didn't make sense. It was really stupid. But I found out after the show, everybody thought, because all the comics were like, "What was that thing you said where you told that guy you were going to fuck him in his ass?" And I was like, "Wait, I didn't do that." Because I forgot that this exchange even happened. I was like, "I don't know what you're talking about. What?" And they were like, "Yeah, you told this man you were going to have sex with him in his butt." And I was like, "I don't think that happened." And then I thought back to it. And I realized, because I always say his ass, I don't think of it. I mean him as a guy. It turned out it was a guy who yelled out, "He's nasty." And that's why this whole table was weird the whole rest of the show.
Oh, my God. So you were trying to talk as what you thought was a woman.
I was trying to do an impression, you know.
And instead it came across like, "I'm going to fuck that audience member in the ass."
Yeah, I'm going to take it. Which, honestly, is not that unlike me. Like, I could see myself doing that.
Well,
but
I think the weird part was that you followed him home after the show.
Well, you know, you got to commit to a bit.
You followed through on your promise.
I'm trying to win that Andy Kaufman Award. Didn't he do something like that?
Bang a guy?
Probably. I don't know. He's a kooky, spooky guy.
Fuck Jerry Lawler in the ass.
That's why he was so mad all the time.
So you did those New Year's shows at Caroline's?
Yeah.
I did them last year, and they were probably the worst shows I've ever done
in
my life.
There was
it was brutal to end the year with a fucking bomb.
I was in my head a little bit because I like the first show, all of us, and this is thank you to Carolines for having us.
Hell, great money.
It's definitely they treated us great. I loved it. It's crazy. $2,000 for one night.
Well, Tom had to shovel outside too.
That's all you got.
He had to shovel all the time.
Love doing that to comics when like I was at Skank Fest and they gave everybody $40 for a set or whatever, and I kept going around to people like, yeah, it's crazy, $200. It's 10 minutes, and watching people be like, what the fuck? Like, some people got mad.
You're trying to fight Lewis.
But yeah, it was the second show was actually pretty good, but it's still New Year's. People come to shows on New Year's Eve and I don't understand it. There was actually one couple that came in from Buffalo to see me, and I was like, they were very sweet and sent me a nice message the next day, and I was like, it's weird for comedy people to come to a show. Like, it's weird to watch comedy on New Year's Eve, like right before the ball drops, I think. Yeah. But people love to do it. Every show is like
great
packed.
At the Comedy
the
Attic.
Comedy, me and Tommy did the Comedy Attic 2 years ago, and then he was there with Sean Donnelly.
This year was really fun. Yeah.
Really?
The other
fun
one was like
time.
Kind of fun.
Is that right?
Way more fun without
you. Interesting.
No, it was fun. I was playing a melodic on stage at the Countdown. It was great.
There was a proposal the first time we did it. But yeah, people make such a big deal out of New Year's Eve. I don't understand why anybody goes to comedy shows at all, though, to be honest.
Like any day of the year.
You gotta see us. Who gives a shit? Anyway, come see me and Tommy at Caroline's on Broadway, January 25th. Tom and Tommy Comedy Mommy. Wait, no, that's not a Stand By Your Band Live. 11:30. I think we put a lot of pressure on ourselves to stay up for New Year's Eve. Who gives a shit?
Yeah, man, way too much pressure. You know what I did, though?
Was this your first one missing it?
No, this is my second one missing it, and this is my second one missing it with a kid. I've missed one before that. I'm just a straight up loser. Now I have an excuse to be a loser.
Yeah. That's so funny. I was up all night with a baby. You have a kid? No.
I like to keep the party small. No, the highlight, I tried to go to bed by 11:30 because I felt like it was just be too depressing to be sitting awake at midnight by myself.
Yeah,
you know?
Watching Carson Daly or whatever.
Yeah, but then a bunch of fireworks were going off, so I got up and I looked out my window, and I can see, it's not like the best view, but I can see the Freedom Tower from my kitchen window, and the needle on the Freedom Tower, that was like all lit up like crazy colors, and that to me was like exciting. That was like the highlight. I was like, this is pretty cool. No one else is seeing this.
There you go. That's good.
Everyone else is sucking face with a stranger.
Hell yeah.
And I'm enjoying a national monument.
I'm gonna go to a museum in the morning. I'm so fired up right now. Well, hell yeah. Let's talk a little about Kings of Leon. These your boys?
These are my boys. I don't want to be that guy, but I've been with these guys from day one.
Oh, ooh, shit. You're one of those types. Yeah, so what, 2003 are we talking?
2003, yep.
Wow. All right. So how did you get into them? Like, how did you find out about them? Because they weren't big in the States.
They were not big
in the States. They had to get in their little rowboat and go across the pond to get any success, as far as I'm concerned.
Usually in Australia, too, yeah.
Oh, yeah. They had to get
they sell, like, 8 million copies of their fourth album in Australia alone or something like that?
What?
That's ridiculous, yeah.
Holy shit.
Isn't that everyone in Australia? Like, every man, woman, and child at their own copy?
Right. Even the kangaroo.
I think that's more.
Like,
they all bought two.
Pull an iPod Touch out of their like pouch.
But I got into that. Yeah, I got into them, which is kind of a fluke thing because 2003, I was still really into hip hop primarily.
Yeah,
I was.
And this is
I was a huge into hip hop all throughout high school and my early. I mean, I still am. That's primarily what I listen to. Mm-hmm. So, like, early 2000s, there was, like, a couple rock groups that I listened to. Like, I was in, you know, Strokes, White Stripes.
Hell yeah.
Sure.
Kings of Leon. White Stripes is the most, that's the band that I've been to the most concerts.
Nice.
I've seen them,
wow,
like, six times. I've seen Jack White twice.
Yeah.
So I was, like, a big fan of theirs. But other than like, those three bands, Strokes, White Stripes, and Kings of Leon, it was mostly rap music. But I remember, I think I read something about them in Rolling Stone, and then that song Molly's Chambers on the first album got like a little bit of like rock radio play. And I got that album, and I thought it was awesome. And then, but their second album, which came out a year later, that was like, that to me is their best album.
And that's Ashay Heartbreak.
And okay. That, to me, holds kind of sentimental value to me because I listened to that like the month that I moved to New York. In January 2005.
Okay.
So that album was like the soundtrack to me moving to New York.
Sure.
You know, I remember looking out the window of the bus, seeing the skyline.
Uh-huh.
Queuing up that album.
Four kicks till New York.
Yeah.
Tom and I drove to New York together.
That's true.
I remember right as we were pulling up, we listened to Lips of an Angel by Hinder. So I will forever
by who?
Think of
why did we do that?
The song Lips of an Angel by Hinder. They were a horrible band.
You know that song, right?
I've never even heard of these guys.
Oh, we got to play
Coming
it real fast.
From the lips of an angel, hearing my name, it sounds so
sweet. It's a terrible
sweet.
Song.
Jesus Christ.
I think we were playing like bad songs from the mid to late 2000s.
Yeah.
As like trying to like each one up each other with like find a bad song.
Uh-huh.
But that's like ends up being like what I think of like driving into New York and how I associate it with this terrible fucking song.
You're like, we should leave New York.
I forgot that we did that. That's become kind of a tradition on me and Tommy's long car rides. It's been a while since we've had one.
Speaking of songs that would be in that.
Yeah, hell yeah. That's a good song. I'll stand by that song from Stained.
Stained by your band. Yeah.
Hell yeah. We'll listen to the shittiest music at the end of a drive. Sometimes it's stuff we actually like, I think. I'll admit, I like
pleasures.
It. Like, yeah. Bare Naked Ladies and shit like that.
Well, you're so, like, punchy after, like, a 10-hour drive that, like, anything is
totally
funny.
You need
anything. And, like, this was probably, we drove all day. Tommy had everything he owned in his lap.
it was
all packed into a bag. It was very funny.
I couldn't see ahead of me because this giant bag was on my lap.
Oh, shit, this song.
How did I miss this? I never had the pleasure.
How did you do this?
Look at that album cover.
Yeah, it's sick.
That'll get you going.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
Guys, let's take a break and look at this album cover for a
while. Can't see the visual here, but I'm beating off to some milk titties under the table.
Tommy's revving up his pisser. That's a fun new way to say
up your pisser.
Ripping up his pisser. Tommy's a piss freak. and recently discovered shit freak.
That one's not canon.
Right.
nope, not canon.
I think it's canon. It's on an episode. When did you start? So the second album came out. That was your moving to New York. You're like, you're really into it. So is the third album, that's like, the third album's not the one that took them to
no
major
third
success,
album
right?
Was third album
it's
that's
because
of
the
times.
Times.
Yeah. That was a bit of a, I mean, I was still listening to them, you know, because when you like a band that much, they have to fuck up a lot to turn on them completely.
For sure.
This is like Arcade Fire for me a little bit, where I don't know if it wasn't the third album, it's the fourth album that I was like, I don't want to give
Neon Bible?
Up. No, Neon Bible's two.
I like Neon Bible.
Neon Bible's pretty good.
Then
three
the Suburbs
is
three.
Suburbs, and four is Reflector.
Oh, Reflector, right.
Which I hate.
There are some good
songs
in Reflector.
Yeah.
If you give it another shot.
I feel like that's the case with their new one too that we were talking
about. There's
the
two
day.
Really good songs on the
there's
new
a
one.
Couple new like but I had given up on them a little bit, but I want to still like them, like I still go back and listen to the first three albums all the time. But listening, I push myself into listening to the other ones because I'm like, there's got to be something here. I loved them so much.
I
and
feel
then
like I'm in the rarity of loving that new album. I love
the new one.
There are a few songs that I like.
Fuck Kings of Leon. I'm defending Arcade Fire.
Well, I don't think they even need defending. People still love them, I feel
the
like.
The song Everything Now is great.
Yeah, that one's good.
I like, what's
Creature
the other one
Comfort
I like? Creature Comfort.
I think that's their best song ever.
That's a great
song.
I really
disagree,
do.
But I love that song.
Yeah.
What do you think their best song ever is?
I just hate the one where they keep saying content, that old shit. You know what
right,
I mean?
Right, right,
I hate
right,
that
right.
so much.
I don't know what my favorite.
Infinite content. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the one I don't like.
Oh, boy.
I like how they get a little punky in that, though, and that's got a killer guitar solo.
I like Ready. I think Ready to Start's my favorite Arcade Fire.
Great song.
I like that. Also, what's that one that was from Where the Wild Things Are.
Wake Up.
Wake Up. It's
Wake
so
Up is a classic
good.
Banger. Yeah.
So fucking good.
Seeing them play that live is one of the coolest things in the world.
It's a, it seems
everyone's
like a great
nuts.
Album closer.
I mean, yeah,
like
David
a,
Bowie
yeah,
plays that song
closer.
With you, I mean, that's
a good sign. What's
that?
Yeah.
When David Bowie plays that song with you, that's a keeper. He used
oh,
to play
shit.
That with him.
I did not
play
realize.
That with him a
you know, there's
times.
A video of Hinder on stage, and David Bowie comes out the lips of an angel. He's in full Ziggy Stardust makeup, and he sings Lips of an Angel.
He doesn't sing. He's too busy tonguing the lead kisser the whole time.
I wonder what their second biggest hit is. I have to know. This is a song called Better Than Me. I want to see if I know any of it. Isn't oh, that, yeah, I know this.
This is brutal.
Isn't that the best song when you go on Spotify and you go by most popular, and the first one is always a big hit, and the second one, you're like... Well, something has to be second,
yeah,
but, like,
yeah, yeah,
but nobody
yeah.
actually
funny
listens to
so
this shit.
So we just did Chumbawamba right before this, and the top two for oh, Chumbawamba yeah. are Tub Thumping, number one, and then Tub Thumping Radio Edit, number two.
yeah, yeah.
Which you'll have heard this by now. We liked that. yeah, so what did you think of their transition into superstardom?
Well, here's the thing. They had been putting off, selling out, quote unquote, from
yeah.
day one because their first album. Apparently, they wanted some national commercial wanted to use that song "California Waiting,"
yeah,
and they turned it down.
Wow!
And their management thought that was a big mistake. They were like, "You guys are what are you doing? Like, this
yeah.
is a huge opportunity for you."
Damn.
And they thought that song was too poppy, and they didn't want that song to
wow.
be what represented them.
Weird.
So they turned that down.
Shit.
And then second, Aha Shake Heartbreak didn't have any singles on it or anything. Third album, because of the times, they wanted to release Fans as a single,
uh-huh.
and they turned that down because they thought it was like a little too like acoustic strummy. It's,
yeah.
It is. Uh-huh. It's kind of a. It's a song. It's kind of like a novelty-ish song. It's just a song about fans, which is it's not a great song.
Yeah.
And they didn't want that to be the song that broke them either. So
uh-huh.
they turned that down.
Damn.
And then
nothing so, ever worked out.
Yeah.
yeah. Yeah. And then Sex on Fire obviously was what broke them.
Yeah.
And they even when that came out, they said that like. Well, we don't really like who it's attracted to our concerts because that's a song that was like that was a huge hit. That's like you know,
it's
soccer
like,
moms getting
like
wet in their minivans.
No,
that
that's so. There's an article that I was reading called "Kings of Leon Hate Sex on Fire," and it's about how the Kings of Leon apparently doesn't enjoy the song "Sex on Fire."
Good summation.
No, they say Kings of Leon shot to fame with "Sex on Fire," their biggest hit, but the band can't stand the song anymore. This is Nathan Followill says, "I would be pretty damn happy if my sex was never ever on fire again,"
Ugh.
He told UK newspaper The Sun.
Before he castrated himself in front of a journalist.
This Here, one's
you
for God.
This fire.
Yeah. Fans want it and you have to do it. And after so many albums together, I can tell you there's a lot of debate about what records make it onto a set list. Everyone has their favorites. One huge fan of the band is Coldplay frontman Chris Martin, who joined them on stage for a performance of Fans. Chris then thanked the lead singer for letting him join in, saying that was amazing. Chris Martin is such a bitch, and like I like him, but I like Chris Martin. I like
yeah,
Coldplay.
You're like the biggest Coldplay fan I know.
I love Coldplay, but he's so annoying sometimes. And when he says stuff like this, like "Oh, that was amazing." Fuck off, Chris.
I don't see anything wrong with saying
fuck
he had
you.
A good experience.
It's
because
I don't like this band. That's what this is.
I hate when people say things like, "It was fun," and "It was great."
He's annoying.
I don't hate Coldplay, but I hate Chris Martin for single-handedly making Graduation by Kanye West unlistenable from back
oh,
to front
that
because
is
of that one song.
Bullshit.
Ooh, you
so
guys
I
are
love that
fight.
Song.
Do you really?
I love
Get
that
the
song.
Fuck
and
out
everybody,
here.
Everybody's always
oh,
like,
my
"No,
God.
No, you got to listen to the John Legend version where
yeah.
he's singing." Fuck that version. That's a Chris Martin song. First, Kanye had a song with Coldplay. Next thing you know, Jay got a song with Coldplay. It's so
yeah.
funny to me that he calls Chris Martin Coldplay.
Yeah.
It's like
Yo,
so
what's up, Coldplay?
Yeah. But anyway, I love that song. But oh, I also, I understand what you're saying. It's one of the most insufferable things is watching the music
Words
video.
Words from the lips of an angel.
Watching the music video for Homecoming, watching Chris Martin dance is like the worst thing in the world. It's so bad.
I remember the video.
It's really cool. It's actually a really cool video, except for Chris Martin dancing.
It's a lot of Chicago.
Yeah, Chicago. And like the way that they do, like... It's you'd have to see it. It's good, but Chris Martin dancing is very bad. Don't
make his ass clap.
You know, don't look at that.
He's twerking. Yeah.
But yeah, you know,
it's bad
I shouldn't have gotten
turns
so
me on too much.
I shouldn't have gotten so mad about that.
You're
I think
supposed it's to
just
feel this way about Mr. Play.
Before I forget, we should go ahead and listen to our dear friend Jared Thompson and foe of the podcast, Jared Thompson's thoughts on the band. He's the owner of the Comedy Attic in Bloomington, Indiana, and co-founder of the Limestone Comedy Festival this May, end of May, I think, or end of or beginning of June, something like that. Check it out, limestonefest.com. This is Jared Thompson.
What's up, y'all? This week they went to Jared. The boys are going to have a guest on defending Kings of Leon. We've kind of covered this a little bit. You know, they're in that Coldplay Muse category of just, like, why does it bother you? It's not that bad. It's kind of been blown out of proportion that, you know, that any of those bands are bad. Like, it's just, you know, just ignore them. They're not grating to your ear. There's really no real reason to dislike them. Unless, I will say that I have met a couple of people who were really into Kings of Leon before they kind of hit it big. And I guess they did change their sound and... If you're the type of person that's bothered by, like, selling out or whatever, I guess it's possible that you could have a complaint. But for the rest of us, it's just, you know, it's just something that you can ignore. Like, I admit that there was, like, a sort of moment of weakness where I liked a couple of their songs. And, again, they're not bad. They're just kind of bland. It's just, you know, it's... And my biggest, you know... problem, I guess, with the Kings of Leon fan isn't really that bad. It's just like, just pay a little bit closer attention and you'll find better bands. Like, you're kind of on the right track. Like, if you're listening to them, then you maybe sort of understand what's good. Just dig a little deeper and you'll see some great bands sort of in that same general vicinity. You know, this is kind of bland, boring. I don't really know if the episode's going to be that exciting. I mean, they're just, ugh. Anyway. All right, I'll talk to you later. Thanks.
All right, those were the thoughts of Jared Tompler from Bloomington, Indiana. Really quickly, before, because I want to hear your thoughts on what he just said. It's interesting, this, I remember when Jared loved this band, or like when he would be like, they're good. But it, like, I was listening to this playlist, it reminded me, like, they're kind of up his alley with, like, dad rock sort of shit sometimes.
Right.
But the Coldplay thing is the thing that comes up a lot, where they get compared to, like, the sound. They're, like, U2 Coldplay-ish a little bit. In that maybe it's in the production or maybe the transition of how they maybe the way their music changed. I don't know what it is, but I read a few different comments that are like, yeah, they're, like, Coldplay rock. What do you think?
Well, I think, yeah, I think any band that has that arena rock ready sound gets thrown into just a category of being shit. But like, why is that a bad thing to be able to, you know, like,
yeah,
arena rock to me is like anthemic songs. And I think Arcade Fire would fall into that too.
Sure,
I mean, it's songs that like there's a momentum to them. There's like a, I don't know, they get you fired up, you know.
Sure.
And I think Kings of Leon, even in their first album, you kind of see that they have that potential, and I think that they put off like really diving into that sound for as long as possible, because they're like, you know, they're like authentic dirty southern boys,
yeah,
who could like barely play their instruments when they first started.
Yeah,
but they always, I think they always had that potential, so they fought it for as long as they could, and now they're like one of those bands that's like not sure about how they feel about fame or whatever, you know.
Yeah.
And they were also when they were, I think on their second album, they wound up touring with Pearl Jam and U2 and Bob Dylan. So they're playing
Jesus
these arenas. You know, they're playing
insane
with U2, so I'm sure that probably influenced their sound a little bit.
Sure.
And they thought, well, you know, if we can reach this level of success, why the fuck not?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. That's fair. That's a fair defense. I like what Jared said about, like, if you like this, you're on the right track to something good. It's very, I think that it's true. Yeah. Like, if, I mean, you can say that about any band that's gotten, that's big. It's like, if you dig a little deeper, there's something behind them that's also interesting. Like, you can get into more from listening to this. Like, that's I mean, the reality is Coldplay got me into so many bands that are better than Coldplay, probably, or more interesting, but I still like Coldplay, you know?
Right.
Fuck you guys.
I imagine, too, that, like, a lot of Kings of Leon fans became fans of theirs after Sex on Fire.
Yes.
And became fans of that album and perhaps subsequent albums. And those are their worst albums.
Yeah, you know?
So that's the thing. Like, fans of theirs that listen to those albums, yes, there is better music than those albums. But I think those first two albums still hold up fantastically to this day.
I really, so you put on, was it Waiting on California? Waiting for California?
California Waiting. Waiting
for California. and that was such a different sound to me because I had only heard them post Sex on Fire. And they're a band that I've heard for years, this thing about, you got to hear the old shit and then you're going to change your fucking tune then, you stupid piece of shit. That's what these Kings of Leon, and then they'd shove me in a dumpster, piss me off. We'll get to the playlist eventually, but there's a lot of that stuff on there. Let's go to Facebook, really quickly. So another thing we do,
How Jared, said this would be a boring, you call me boring, Jared? Fuck you.
I do like the idea that the episode relies solely on who the band is, too. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
like, the band is boring, so the episode must be boring.
Jared, there's
a lot
of problems
really
going to
sleep
now.
Your way through this one.
It's like, Jared, do you like us or not? Quit assuming things are going to be boring. Let's go to Facebook. So in addition to Jared's comments, we also take it to the book. should that be the
take
name of the segment?
Take it to the book.
Ooh,
wait,
go.
Isolate that. We're going to play that every episode.
You isolate that.
I don't know how to use a computer.
I want residuals.
One time I left Tommy alone with the computer, I had to leave, and he finished out the podcast, and it ends with him going, I'm worried I deleted it.
When I had to press one button, I was like,
it was so easy. All right. So
my button is a much larger button than the one you use.
What the hell?
It's a Trump thing.
Oh, okay. Okay, then. Let's see here. So I asked Facebook, do you hate Kings of Leon and why?
How can you say I asked Facebook, like,
hey, Facebook?
Hey, Mr. Facebook.
I asked Zuckerberg himself.
Hey, Facebook, after Tommy reported his girlfriend for her comments and you banned another woman for saying the men are scum.
Your girlfriend's parents let her use Facebook yet?
They don't let under 13 have Facebook accounts. Thank you. So this is the first comment we got was from our friend from Chicago, not across the pond, pre-pond? Anyway, let's see here. Within the pond?
Within our landmass.
Yeah, there we go. That's what I was looking for. Sam Ash McHale wrote, she just shared an article called Jared Followill, Kings of Leon bassist, slut-shamed a pro wrestler on Twitter. Let's see what we got.
Please be
here.
The Rock. Please be The Rock. Please be The Rock. I think The Rock's a fucking slut.
Jared Followill tweets, hey, adults, let's maybe not watch professional wrestling, you know? I hate this tweet. I'm going to tell you that. I don't like pro wrestling. I'm not a wrestling fan. I hate this. I hate when people write, like, hey, maybe let's not.
Yeah. And also, just to preface anything with, hey, adults.
Oh,
most
oh,
of my tweets
no
are for
good.
The kids.
Yeah. This one goes specifically 18 and up. Just a picture of his ass.
Oh, my God.
Hey there, Junior. This one ain't for you.
So then Vita Scott
writes, there has to be more. Was there a picture or something?
What do you? No, that's it.
Don't watch wrestling.
Hey, maybe let's not watch professional wrestling. You know.
So how is that?
So that I think that somebody comments back with it. It says Vita Scott writes, "Hi, I'm in your Stereo Gum article about indie wrestlers on Twitter. My comment was a Seinfeld joke. Just to clarify, I don't know what that means." Follower responded by tweeting back at Scott, simply telling her to close your legs. That was a stupid thing to tweet. Follower deleted it soon after, but this is the internet and screenshots are forever. Oh, shit. Oh, yeah. She wrote something about shrimp on here. Yeah, I guess it was a Seinfeld thing, and he just went in hard on her. Close your legs. It's not good. Mike Bailey writes, "Hey, Kings of Leon, the washed-up alternative rock band store called They're Running Out of You." Oh, that's the nice. That's the Seinfeld.
Nice.
Hell yeah. Got his ass.
Tom, you have a weird... I've never seen you more angry at a band than you are at Kings of Leon.
You know what it is?
Like, did they, like, fuck someone you
they
know?
They did. They fucked everybody I've ever known.
Oh, that must be it.
Yeah.
They should have closed their legs.
I will... I'll tell you...
You could have defended that. Close your... Autocorrect. Close your mouth. Come on. Yeah. Fucking iPhones.
I want to see if he ever... He didn't apologize. What is this? He just starts laughing at people who are responding to him. I don't like this. All right. Okay, so I've got a lot of people are angry about wrestling. Ugh. Guys. So that was a test. You all passed with flying colors. I thought people were against wrestling, but nope, not us. Yeah, he's trying to be funny after that, but close your legs is pretty unforgivable in my opinion. That's bad. That's not good. Defend it. Defend slut shaming.
I mean, of all the things we've talked about on this podcast, close your legs.
No.
You're saying it's unforgivable, whereas we've had people who have done so much worse things.
Who's done
that.
Worse?
Half of the bands have sex with 13-year-olds.
So tell me something worse than close your legs. All right. So
they were brought up Pentecostal. They toured the South with their minister father.
Yeah.
It was very,
snake shit or no?
What's that?
Did he do like snake shit or no?
Yeah, I don't know about that. That'd be awesome. I hope so.
This is on their Wikipedia, but so when they broke off from their dad, like their mom and dad got divorced and their dad burned in a fire or something. he stopped.
That's what Texas. They
just stopped touring with him or whatever in the like Christian band or whatever. And they, I think Caleb moved to Nashville first. And then the rest kind of followed. And then they had their 16-year-old cousin. They tricked his mom into thinking he was only going to come for a week, and then they wouldn't let him leave Nashville.
Now
this is what they said.
Trick. I say kidnap.
That's what they all they put kidnap in quotes.
Tied him to the radiator for his own good.
They locked themselves in a basement. Doing 5 beats a day for 3 summers, of course. No, they were they locked themselves in a basement for a month because the two brothers had built a little steam up on their own.
Right,
Caleb and Nathan.
Yeah.
They had gotten industry attention just for being like cute brothers in Nashville, making their little shit.
Well, in Nashville, you don't even have to make music. It's
that's
just
how they
brothers.
Wanted to market them as at first. It was just the two of them, Caleb and Nathan.
Yeah.
And they wanted to market them as like the
Evan
handsome
and,
Southern.
They were
going to
be like Evan and Jaren, but more country.
And then they were like, "Fuck that! We're going to grow facial hair because facial hair makes you hideous." I used to be a dreamboat, and then I glued these pubes to my face. Now no one will come near me.
So, so originally it was going to be that, and then they invite their other brother. They kind of made him learn an instrument. And then they bring that cousin around. They lock themselves in a basement for a month and put out their first – they put together their first group of songs, and the industry loves it. I mean, not the – like, they're already signed to RCA Records in 2002.
Yeah.
Which seems insane for how long it took them to get major success, because that's, you know, that's pretty big.
They also, I guess their management at the time wanted to pair the two with, you know, professional, they wanted to pair them with professional working musicians. They were like, no, fuck that. We want our little brother and our cousin to join us.
Yeah.
Who also had, like, they all had very limited experience playing together.
Yeah.
So
they've really been
shooting themselves in the foot from day one.
It's pretty funny, I guess. Yeah, that they the whole time are like, we could have been successful 15 years ago and just chose to like make it harder on themselves. So that's interesting.
I think the narrative is wrong about that because everyone, I think, puts them in the Vampire Weekend camp of like, oh, these kids got famous right away.
And sure.
Like, no, they didn't. No.
Like, yeah, they didn't. They could have, though, which is interesting. Like, they had the attention so early and they just chose not to do what people seem to want them to do. I think if they wanted them to just do what they wanted to do anyway. I think the Evan and Jaren thing, like they wanting them to be the two guys.
Avett brother, how do you pronounce it? Avett brothers?
The Avett brother?
Yeah,
yeah,
is that who you're talking about?
I actually don't know how you pronounce
Evan and Jaren.
Evan and Jaren were two cute boys who, they had a couple big hits. They were twin brothers. They had, I'm trying to figure out what their hit, oh, Crazy for This Girl was their big song. I want to find it because they're bad.
This might have been Indiana Only.
No, it's not Indiana Only. This is in their Wikipedia.
Did you buy this in the parking lot of a Walmart? No, you gotta
we don't
want to
hear your
the
Bollywood
boys.
Soundtrack,
all right,
man.
We're going to listen to I'm going to teach you guys what some real music is. This is Evan and Jaren.
Sounds like Crash Test Dummies, doesn't it?
Oh, I know this song.
Oh, yeah.
That's enough of that.
That was a fairly big hit, right? Was that,
that
is that like 10 years old?
That was getting radio play quite a bit. I think that was around, this is probably 15 years old now,
yeah.
Which is just old enough to date. we're pro Roy Moore podcast. I don't know if we've covered that yet in this episode. yeah, so they were, these are these Jewish boys, and that's why the Kings of Leon guys, they're like, we don't want to be like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, they they said they specifically said we don't want to be Evan and Jaren because that's what they were. This label was like, they're hot, you guys could be that. You're cute boys. Come on, just duo up and make it happen. But yeah, they made their brother learn bass when he was a freshman in high school. Let's see, Caleb taught himself guitar.
There's a fun little. It might be on there. There's a fun little anecdote I read about that. They wanted him to play bass, and he was like, no, man, I'm not going to play bass. All bass players are fat fucks like the dude from the Goo Goo Dolls.
That's the only band he knows.
Yeah, so funny. Every bassist. That is so funny. All right, so
hey, I played bass in high school. What the fuck?
There are a few, though. You guys listen to that band Future Islands?
Yeah.
Have you seen their bass player?
I've
He's
not
a fat
seen
fuck, too. Long-haired fat fuck is a whole different
shit.
Kind of fat fuck.
Yeah, well, as soon as Tommy, if you would have seen Tommy play, he'd be like, and hot jocks, I guess. let's read a little more Facebook, a few more Facebook thoughts here. There's a lot, actually. People were very opinionated. Yes. Did you see any of these?
No, sometimes I didn't. Did you just post this today?
I posted this morning, yeah. Okay. So Kevin Lopkovich, a friend of the pod, wrote, a guy I went to high school with once bragged to me, can't wait to skip school tomorrow, play Oblivion, and listen to the new Kings of Leon album. And that sentence comes up in mind every time I hear them. Let's see. Drew Whitney Morgan, Southern boy himself, wrote, because they broke my heart. That's why he says he hates them. Because they ended my youth. Because every time I put Tranny on and think about them fucked up drunk under a tent at Bonnaroo playing it live and how certain I was that they were going to be the biggest and best band in the world, I have to face how wrong I was, how dumb I was, how I, they, and we all will die. Because Use Somebody is played on elevators. Because, wait, Use Somebody?
Yeah.
Is that what it was called? Yeah, that's what it's called. Yeah, yeah. Because I peaked when they peaked, because it didn't have to be this way. I hate them for who they/I could have been. I hate them because I hate me. And most of all, I hate them because I don't hate them. Not even a little bit. Not at all.
Oh, my God. I'm, like, tearing up.
That's the exact things I hate about you. I love that was a nice little tie-in, Drew.
See, that's the thing. That song Tranny, that's my number one song on the playlist. It's fantastic. So he's saying I don't think he regrets saying thinking that they would be the biggest band in the world. He saw that potential from that song. It's just that when a band gets that big and gets that much radio play, people just turn on them, you know? But like I just think it's shitty to turn on people because they become successful. And if their sound changes a little bit and it gets a little watered down, that's true. And I'll readily admit, I haven't listened to their past. I mean, I have just, you know, to give them another shot in preparation for doing this podcast. But, like, their last three albums, I don't listen to, really, you know. But I think their first two albums, I think those two, even three albums, I think those alone give them a big pass in my book.
Yeah.
You know?
I definitely hate when people shit on a band just because they got big, or they're like, "Oh, I liked them before." It's like, for me, my favorite band is probably Modest Mouse. Still, I mean, they were it was like when I was 21 and like to 27. That's like most of what I listened to was Modest Mouse, and I love their stuff from before they got big. Float On was kind of their Sex on Fire, where they all of a sudden were getting that song's played all the time. People don't hate that song as much as they hate Sex on Fire, You Somebody.
Yeah.
But it definitely gets shit on just because it's played so much, and people make fun of them for that. Right. But I like that song.
Fantastic.
We all float down on here, Joshi. That's what that's, right?
But then once they got big, they had a couple albums that are a little overproduced. Yeah. The album that has Dashboard on it. And
I like that song, Dashboard.
That's a great song. Yeah. There are some great songs on that album. I actually love that album. I have it, I'm pretty sure, on vinyl over there. But it's different from what they did before they got big, and they started making stuff that was getting radio play. Like, Dashboard was a big radio hit, and then Education is really good. I think that got radio play. But I still was like, they're still good, and I still like the old shit, and I'm not like, oh, they fucking sold out. Like, I hate that shit.
That's
like,
another band had a long fucking career before Float On came around.
Yeah, absolutely. And people got into them. I got into them because of Float On. So I can't be mad at people who are like, I don't like this because they got big. I mean, I can be mad at that. But I can't be mad at people who jump on board because they got big, because that's what I did. Right. So,
it's a rarity to find somebody that likes a band from the start and is happy when they reach. You know what I mean? Like, why would you not want everybody to catch on to that?
That's always irritating. Where it's like, you love these people so much, but then when they blow up, you're mad. Like, you should want them to be good.
Yeah.
Having said that, fuck this band. And
I dated a girl that got me into Modest Mouse from pretty much the jump, and I you know, liked their early stuff.
Yeah.
And I used to tell my friends about them all the time. They weren't aware of them yet. And then when Float On broke, and they finally started listening to them, I was like, finally, people are going to hear these guys. I was happy for them, you know?
Absolutely. And I think that one thing with them, when they popped, that song was a hit. But those two albums that were around, like that album and then this album right after it, are both great albums. Like, they were still pretty close to what they were doing before. It wasn't a huge departure. And then the third album following Float On was when it felt very different. It definitely felt like they had some melodies that were like, oh, this seems like they're trying to get radio play now.
Right.
But I don't give a shit. I still like the songs. We still have, there's so many Facebook comments on here. Let's see what James Fritz has to say.
Ooh, love James.
He said, their first two records were great before they opened for U2, and we're like, never mind, we want plodding, whiny stadium crap and Swoopy Bang. So that's, we covered that.
Swoopy Bangs.
let's see. They were fresh.
That is funny that they fought that whole handsome Southern boy thing at first, and now they totally play
into leaned
that.
In hard.
They all wear like tight fitting V-necks, and have like $400 haircuts.
Absolutely, I was looking at pictures of Caleb earlier for my own private use
from your collection.
His wife is a smoke show, and like he
hate
looks
the name
like a model.
Caleb.
Oh,
I can't be a knock on the band, but I really do hate it.
Well, our dear friend Caleb Sinan is going to listen to this and be angry. No, Caleb is definitely a country name. It sounds like a dumb guy.
It does.
Oh, hey, what's Caleb got to say about that? So not something good if it's about race politics. let's see. This is interesting. So a lot of to be honest, a lot of what I don't like about them. One, I didn't like Sex on Fire. That was a bad first intro for me. I did like Use Somebody when it came out. I watched the video for it today, and I was I listened to it on one of the five ways to listen to music, which was at the gym, and I enjoyed it.
Oh, humble brag. Tom's ripped as fuck.
Yeah, I'm ripped. I'm ripped.
Yeah, you don't even want to see him anymore. He's like a monster.
You don't want
to
see me.
I keep telling him to close his arms.
Oh, what the hell? Tommy, big man, that I'm getting jacked.
Tom, are your abs on fire right now?
Oh, hell yeah, dude. Yeah, I watched the video for Use Somebody, and it is corny as fuck, but I do still, the song is nice. It comes together well. It's a pleasant song. It's a good, for as far as like radio play shit, it's fun.
You'd be hard pressed to find cool music videos from the 2000s.
That's true. Oh, yeah.
Man. Of like a popular band.
Unless you want to check out some No Doubt shit.
No Doubt videos are great, but they, I'm just saying, like, there's more bad music videos than good music videos.
But this was late 2000s, though, I think, when that video came out, right?
Somebody?
Yeah.
That's 2008.
Yeah.
Right?
So, I mean,
haven't watched
these are
that
hot
video.
Videos.
I think there are like
time.
Three good music videos.
Ooh, is that right?
Yeah.
All right. So, let's see. Number one is
Evan
the Teenage Mutant Ninjas. Vanilla Ice. Yeah, yeah. That Evan and Jaren video is good because it's just them looking hot the whole time and they barely show the girl. He's like, I'm crazy for this girl. Then why do we keep seeing your ass then? Cute ass boys.
No, I agree with that. There's three good music videos and they're all Busta Rhymes.
Break your motherfucking
I have not seen the Use Somebody video. Did you watch the Sex on Fire video?
I did not.
Is that
That's
on a rooftop?
Embarrassing. They're in a barn and for some reason Caleb is lying down the whole time and he's all sweaty.
Oh god.
And at one point all his brothers like have him pinned down.
Oh shit.
It looks like fucking torture porn.
Yeah.
Jesus.
And he's all like sweaty and there's like buckets of water and like roosters running around. Looks like sort of like Santeria practice is about to happen. And then at one point I think it's Jared, the guitarist, like spits into a napkin. It's like, are you guys all sucking each other's dicks?
Jesus,
what the hell's going on here? And then later it cuts to like them eating like very like centrally eating like chicken wings. And it's like, you're probably, so it's like maybe he was spitting out
like
the, you should show the chicken wing before you show him spitting out something into a napkin.
I have to see that. I won't watch it on the podcast, but
has he ever been seen standing up? Because maybe it's like an FDR thing.
Oh, that's true. I watched a video of him earlier. He's so drunk on stage he can't play. And like, this is like the beginning of the end for them a little bit. Like, they had to cancel the rest of their tour because like, I think they were just not getting along.
Their tour.
What the fuck? You coming at me? Man, I should have known not to come after the king of Zing. there's a video of him, like, he can't even stand up. Like, he's so drunk, and he just keeps telling the audience how great they are. And then he's like, yeah, I don't even know what I'm doing right now. He's just like, all I know is my wife is beautiful.
And, did you say that?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, my God.
And this crowd is great. And then he's like, all right, well, I'm going to go backstage and throw up, and then I'll come back out here and sing three more songs. And then they just end the show. They're like, we can't have him come back out here. And the band is like, sorry, guys, we're pissed. Caleb sucks. Like, we're pretty pissed at him. He can't play anymore. And the audience starts booing and shit.
That happened when I saw the Strokes, is they were too fucked up to play. They ended after like half an hour
because
the bass player fell down. And it was a whole thing.
Well, he was feeling ill. They said. It's so funny how they say ill because that's what they say in this video, too.
It's always, he's gotten sick.
At the beginning of the video, it's a fan of Kings of Leon, and they're like, yeah, I'm not trying to say anything bad. Caleb is ill the whole show.
He's
not ill.
That's like someone's
so fucked up.
Someone's addicted to drugs or hospitalized for exhaustion. Right?
That's what they said too. They canceled the tour because of exhaustion. And it's like, well, he exhausted some Bud Lights as far as I'm concerned. That's what took him down.
I would respect Matt if it was Miller Lite, I'd respect him.
Oh shit. This is a big fight on this podcast. I'm a Coors Light man myself.
I'm a Miller Light man. Where do you fall?
First foray into beer drinking was Coors Light.
Hell yeah.
And then I went Coors Light to Miller High Life.
See, High Life I like more than the others.
But right now, if I was offered a Coors Light or a Miller Light, I would take a Miller
Light.
Hell
yeah.
Get the fuck out of here.
Because you're a wise man. You know what's funny? I had a tweet about Coors Light that got went a little viral, and I people kept tweeting it, but like because of that, people kept like random people kept tweeting, replying to it, and it was all these British people being like, "Coors Light tastes like piss, mate."
As if you like really give a shit.
Yeah, it was just a joke tweet. Yeah. Yeah.
By the way, you know his name is Coltrane, right?
Yeah, that's the joke.
I know, I'm kidding.
I said that in the comedy edit green room, and no one laughed. And then I tweeted it, and I was like, "Fuck you, Jim."
Coors Light doesn't taste like anything. That's the major criticism.
That's what I like about it.
Yeah, yeah. It's definitely the most refreshing beer.
That's what I, you know, I like that about it. I feel like Bud Light's a little buttery. I like that.
Buttery.
To buttery beer. I pour butter in my beer. I heard in Harry Potter they drink butter beer, and I was like, is that what this means? I heat up margarine and pour it into my beer. Oh, don't knock it till you try it.
You're like, go to bartender. I'll have a Butterweiser, please.
Coming right up, sir. Oh man, the Takar special!
You go out back, you pick your cow.
Oh man,
you take a whole stick, try to jam it into the opening of the can.
Can, ew! That makes it worse somehow.
Slippery, because then you go to drink and it's all slippery on your mouth.
You got to deep throw that butter stick before you get the first sip.
Oh man. Guys, send in pictures of yourself trying this.
Oh yeah, the Butterweiser challenge.
Everybody who does this, I'll donate $1 to the
cows
charity of your choice. Up to $7.
Well, I will go up to 8 because it is the year of generosity.
Year of generosity. Well, I'll go down to 3 because I have to negate your generosity. All right.
I'll do it for free. I love butter.
All right. Let's see. I love that you're doing it for free. You won't. It's for charity. So you don't even have to pay these charities for me. All right, so let's see. I'll do one more skim of Facebook.
So they got in a bunch of shit because they were too drunk to play. You know, there was another thing. I think it was like 2010. They did a gig in St. Louis and they walked off the stage because there was pigeon. They were covered in pigeon shit.
I read that and it is so fucking funny.
Wait, what happened? The stage
They were playing a gig in St. Louis and like 10 minutes into the show, you can see footage of them. You can see them like wiping their faces and like spitting.
What?
There was a bunch of pigeons on the lighting rig and they were just shitting all over the band. And they played for 10 minutes and they were like, fuck this. And they walked off stage and all the fans were booing them. They're like, refund, bullshit. And their management was like, this is a toxic health hazard. And like everybody. That I think is when people turn on them even more. That was like that was on CNN and shit.
Yeah,
that was like a big deal.
So that
was like
a big one.
They had fans turn on them for Sex on Fire, and then the fucking newfound Sex on Fire fans turned on them because they thought they were like prima donnas who couldn't deal with a little pigeon shit.
When did the pigeons turn on them?
But actually, you can hire pigeons to shit on people. You know, like, so I put in a little cash.
Is that what happened to my bike?
That's right. I paid big. Pigeon to come after you.
I kind of understood them walking off.
Totally.
You know what I mean? Like, I'd rather have lighting rig cave my fucking head in than have pigeon shit in my mouth.
If any of us were doing sets, except for Tommy, he loves that shit. But, like, if any of us normies did a show, and that's what he calls us in his subreddit, r/shitlovers. of course you'd walk off stage. Yeah. That's insane. So I don't blame them for that. But it is funny that like they were mad. Like they got off stage and the crowd booed them and shit. I was just reading about that. I can't remember where that article was, but there's a lot of people who have stories of them like being kind of divas. Wait, where is this one? I found some fun facts about them too. I don't want to make it all bad because I do feel like I'm going to come in hard on them just because, you know, they fucked everybody I know. But I like these fun facts that I found. It says, when the Kings played Saturday Night Live last September, Caleb walked the backstage halls and took a moment to pause in front of a portrait of Chris Farley. Growing up, he was obsessed with the comic. Quote, I knew I was going to be on SNL, he says. I didn't know that I'd be singing. Nathan remembers the phone call he received on December 18th, 97. Caleb was crying his eyes out, and he kept saying, "He's dead, he's dead." I was like, "What? Dad's dead?" So what I think is interesting about this is he's like, "I knew I was going to be on SNL."
Yeah.
Like, he's thought he was going to be a comedian.
Yeah. Right? Like, yeah.
But he didn't even do anything like
that. I come from humble beginnings. I thought I would be mopping the stage at SNL.
I like this one, too. Caleb was 14 the first time he smoked weed in Henderson, Tennessee. I was with cousin Peanut, and we were in a graveyard. I didn't know he was related
to 311.
I was going to say the puppet, one of what's his name's puppets. Name? God damn it. Fuck.
Puppet comedian. Famous rich man.
Jeff Dunham?
Jeff Dunham. That's it.
We're on
you won.
Recording.
You win. Who is Jeff Dunham?
I win one Butterweiser.
We will each donate $8 to Jeff Dunham. He's our friend on Venmo.
Yeah. Peanut's sick right now. So, no, he said, they were smoking weed in a graveyard. I was like, I don't feel it. But when we got home, I was eating a bunch of chicken tenders. Peanut said, "What the fuck, man? You're going to kill your buzz." That's when I realized, maybe I am feeling this. Fun facts with Kings of Leon.
I mean, these are as reflective on the fact writers as they are.
No, absolutely.
They're
so overwritten. This isn't Rolling Stone.
What?
I swear to God, yeah. This is Rolling. This is Rolling Stone.
You know there's a new documentary about like Rolling Stone. What if it's like 10 minutes on that? Like,
yeah,
we knew we had to break the chicken tender story.
I won't read any more of those, but I actually have. I remember I was like not super into them just from that Sex on Fire song, but then I had a friend who I'm going to say cuz I don't think they give a fuck cuz I had a joke where I made fun of them, and somebody from Kill Rock Stars was there, it's a label out of Portland, and they came up and they were like, "We love that fucking Kings of Leon joke cuz we fucking hate them because they were assholes to us when we were overseas before they were big. They like wouldn't let somebody in the green room or something. They were like super, they were huge prima donnas, and they were like talking down to everybody around and not letting like anybody around them." And they were like, "We don't even know who the fuck you are." And they were it turns out they were big there, but they were like being very much like, "Who the fuck are you guys? Why are you around here?" Like, it was like their openers or something.
Yeah.
It's crazy. But I also read this. This is from the LA Weekly, July 16, 2014. It's called "Further Proof That Kings of Leon Are Jerks." On August 24th, 2009, interns working for NBC's Tonight Show, then hosted by Conan O'Brien, were surprised when musical guest Kings of Leon insisted on a closed rehearsal. Normally, employees and interns could watch artists soundcheck during the lunch break, but Kings of Leon shut them out. It seemed an unusually douchey move, though that alone might not have been such a big deal. I love in journalism when they say stuff like that.
Really douchey.
But the band's antics were just getting started. Let's be clear. Stories of stars acting like complete assholes around the little people are a dime a dozen in L.A. But when we started asking industry insiders for some of their worst horror stories, we were so struck by Kings of Leon's Tonight Show visit that we stopped right there. The Southern Rockers of Sex on Fire fame used to be portrayed as the genteel family band, three sons and the nephew of a Pentecostal preacher who moved to Nashville to make music together. But over the years, that image has become increasingly hard to reconcile with the trail of douchebaggery they've left in their wake. Since 2009, Kings of Leon have cussed out their own fans, walked out on a show after getting shit on by pigeons, and dissed the TV program Glee to such an extent that Sir Elton John called them assholes. I didn't know that.
Wait, about the Glee thing?
I guess
that's
so.
How you know you've made it.
I'm gonna, you know what?
When Elton John wants,
let's sidetrack away from this for a second. We'll come back to it. I'm gonna click on this and
Elton
see where
John.
It takes me.
He did like a Chris Crocker video where he's
now
like,
now we know why
Glee
Tom hates them. He's an avid Glee lover.
Hey, I'm a Gleek, and you can't take that away from me. Where the hell is this? That's weird. You click on the thing and it doesn't take you to anything, does it? I'm going to see here. I'm going to look up Elton John, Kings of Leon, and see if that'll take us there.
But of the three things they mention,
yeah,
two
the
of them
on...
are getting shit on by pigeons and leaving and making fun of Glee, which are like things anyone would do. Like,
oh, here we go. Oh, I don't want to see a video. Damn it. Elton John chastised. Here we go. This is in Billboard. So take that, you pieces of shit. Elton John thinks Kings of Leon should let Glee use their music. There's a big debate going on about the Glee thing at the moment. A lot of bands say they don't want their stuff on Glee. It's like, Lighten up, you assholes. John said on Late Night with Jimmy Fallon Thursday. John is referring to Kings of Leon.
And then Jimmy Fallon, like, tussled his hair.
Let's see. John says, this is a compliment. Also, it sends a positive message out. What the hell is wrong with you guys? Oh, we don't want our music played. Well, Kings of Leon, lighten up, guys. Come on. Listen, when someone wants to do your song, it's a compliment. It's so great when people do your songs. I started off as a songwriter. Even now when I get into an elevator and hear Muzak, I feel really happy when it's one of my songs because it's a compliment when somebody records or does one of your songs. It doesn't matter if it's a bad version. It's a thrill.
Wait, Elton John said I started out as a songwriter?
Yeah, yeah.
When he's had Bernie Taupin writing his songs the whole fucking time?
Hey, this is not a John-shaming podcast. We're pro Elton John. We're pro Roy Moore. And we're anti-Kings of Leon. Okay, so let's go back.
That's
to
what
that
I thought when everyone was talking about being a Bernie bro. I thought it was about Bernie Taupin. I'm like, oh hell yeah. Yeah, yeah. Rocket Man.
Yeah, lock her up.
Elton John's gonna be Vice. All right, strange move. What the hell?
All right, so what he called them assholes. That wasn't as big as I thought it was going to be. Then it says, Caleb Folliwell admitted to Britain's Telegraph in 2010 that he was only sober for the first 30 minutes of every day, same as Tommy McNamara. adding that once he started drinking, there's a level of brutal honesty, if not pure meanness. Damn. Ooh. At a gig in Dallas in 2011, Caleb announced he was going off stage to vomit and never returned. Their tour was later canceled with exhaustion, given as the reason. In a 2013 interview, again with The Telegraph, Caleb said he'd quit drinking, although he also denied rumors that he'd gone to rehab. And that's the context for the story we learned from two former Tonight Show interns who independently confirmed the details. According to the interns, things got even more sore after the sound check. When Kings of Leon went to their dressing room, they had a spread of food and wine waiting for them, as requested in their contract. But the band refused to touch it until they had ceramic plates and actual stemware. One intern was instructed to wash glass stemware dug up out of a prop room. The other recalls someone making a run to a nearby store to purchase plates. Let's see.
All right, now I hate them.
For the record, hell yeah.
Anyone who uses hell the term yeah. proper stemware.
We need to get more girls in stemware programs.
It says, for the record, this wasn't the first time they made extra hospitality demands at a show. There's a link to that, too. Let's do another little aside. Damn it, they don't take you to anything.
Got Julian aside over here.
What the hell?
WikiGleaks.
That'd be so funny if there's like a really harsh Gleek website. It says, then one of the interns... Oh, shit. It says, then one of the interns made the mistake of making eye contact with Caleb Folliwell in the hallway. Hey, I really liked your new album, the starstruck intern told him. Folliwell allegedly scowled and then shoved the intern aside as he passed.
Ooh.
This one, I'm on his side. When I did Conan, I had interns coming up to me. They said, I love your work. And I said, get the fuck out of here.
I would hate if I was that intern to be described as starstruck.
Oh, yeah, I know. Yeah, when you're probably just feeling awkward and you're like, hey, I like your
album. If you see someone and you're walking around the hall, you're like, hey, I love this. That's not like...
That's what I say. If you see someone,
the doe-eyed virgin.
Say yeah, yeah.
He had his tits out with a Sharpie in hand.
Please. The pathetic, lisping piece of shit intern.
The tiny-dicked big fan. yeah, so he shoved him aside. It says, later, one of the interns says, Tonight Show staff members responsible for cleaning the dressing room reported that the place had been trashed. Drink and food were spilled everywhere, and food was ground into the carpet, almost as if it had been done intentionally. It was unbelievable.
I would say it was probably intentional.
Yeah, ground into the floor. Yeah. Jesus. It was unbelievable, the intern says. I used to like them, but now anytime I hear the songs, it triggers a horrible memory. When asked for comment, a PR rep for the band told LA Weekly that the allegations were ridiculous, saying that the followers were happy all day and the show was great. The show's music talent exec, Jim Pitt, who works for Conan's TBS show, was defensive. Really? When did LA Weekly become TMZ?
Ooh.
Pitt went on to deny that the band made any unusual requests or acted unprofessionally, but did allow that NBC employees had been stuck in traffic and late to pick up the band from their LA hotel that morning. Band members had to drive their own rental cars to the lot when it became clear that they might miss the dress rehearsal, which might have set a bad tone. So maybe that excuses the intern. So maybe that excuses shoving the intern, but what about the stemware demand? What kind of rock stars drink out of a glass? Well, that's kind of a stupid argument. Yeah.
I think if I ever get arrested for murder, will you go as a witness and just go, he was happy all day. He couldn't have done anything wrong.
I remember. I saw him smiling.
It's impossible.
Let's see here. Oh, I guess they settled their feud with Glee. Oh, you know what? I like these guys. That was actually all that I had.
That was really it.
They went on to write the entire next season.
Yeah, I don't like this. It says, yeah, it says they
charged. People are really searching here. You can see that, right?
I want to know this, though.
It does feel like that to me, yeah.
Yeah, it kind of does. The more I'm reading about it. But I have, so this one I want to know about because it says they charged bands money to open for them.
Ooh, pay to play.
Yeah, yeah. So I want to read, I'm going to look that up real fast. Could I have done this earlier? Possibly. Kings of Leon charges bands. Charges. Let's see if this brings anything up. The cost behind booking your favorite band. No, that's not it. He's on Billboard.
Where did you? Did someone say that on Facebook? Or
yeah. I should have. I wish I had seen that more. They just posted it, or else I would have looked into that more. Well,
don't you wish comedy operated that way? I'd rather pay money when I first started than have all my friends see me bomb.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I offered that to a club once when I moved
instead
to Ohio.
Instead of bring people, I'll just give you
money.
I was
like, dude, I'll give you $50. Like, cause I'm not, I was like, it's $5 a ticket anyway. You said to bring 10 people. I was like, just moved to Ohio. I was like, I don't know anybody who's not a comic in Columbus. I'll pay you. And then they were like, no. and then you know, I just finessed them with my skills.
Is that what you call it?
Yeah, that's
you
right.
Spit into a napkin.
I like the idea of that video. Sounds so bad that they're like in a barn, like fucking
he's
around,
lying down. And he's all sweaty and nervous looking.
That's
like he's
weird.
Just getting.
Sex is on fire. Penetrated that's like
by
something
off screen.
Just when you said they were like he was laying down in a barn or whatever, it made me think of the Notebook scene, the sex scene. Have you guys seen the Notebook?
Not in years. I don't remember. I have seen it.
The first sex scene in it, maybe the only one, is they're like in a barn and like they're you know they get to business. It'd be so funny if this song just came on. I like the idea of breaking I wish that more movies would do that just out of nowhere. A
and
song.
Pan over and
fit.
They're playing it live.
They're in the barn. Wings. They're like, turn away.
Okay, so I think I think that might be all the hate we can find. So if you stand by it, then there you go. Wait,
here's a conspiracy theory. Maybe pigeons saw that video, thought they were eating pigeon wings, and then as revenge,
that's my brother. You fuck.
Okay, so. I think that's true.
Before we move on.
I think that's true. I didn't look up a quiz. I guess we should probably get to the playlist here. We're already in an hour. Yeah, we should get to the playlist. Okay, so you obviously... Oh, you did something I really liked. You gave us the songs in order of how you like them. And so we'll start with number 6 and go down to number 1. This one kicks off with a little ditty called Sex on Fire. Feel free to talk over this too. That is Sex on Fire. I think you've heard it. You people know it. You love it. Maybe. Maybe you hate it. What do you guys think about that song?
I think I kind of feel like what Jared was saying. Like, I don't think there's anything hateable about that song. Like, I think it's a fine arrangement. You know what I mean?
Unless
you hate the words, "Your sex is on fire."
So I will say that I remember hearing that song and being like, I hate that.
Just
idea.
The phrase.
The phrase. I don't like the phrase. I will say this song, his voice is less great. So a big problem that I have with this band, and I think that this just comes down to taste. And, like, that's the problem with some bands that I like. If you don't like a guy's voice, it's fucking tough. Like, I had that. I remember when I was younger, I loved Ben Folds, and people would be like, I would see people be like, his voice is too nasally, dog. I hate it. And so this guy's voice, it's like,
cracks too much. His balls keep dropping.
That, yes, but it's that thing where I think it's his sex bothers me. There's a thing with him where you can tell he's like trying to sound sexy or something.
Yeah.
And I hate that. I don't know what it is. I like my singers to be gritty. Like Chris Martin types.
You want a tough guy, yeah.
No, but I kind of do like Isaac Brock. Like, I like guys who are like right. they sound shitty, kind of.
Yeah.
Like, I really like the dude from Car Seat Headrest voice a lot.
Yeah,
because it's just a little raw, but it doesn't do this.
There's
like
a band called Car Seat Headrest.
Dude, Car Seat Headrest. Oh. Is
bad
good.
Name, great band.
Great band. And it's really just a dude, I think.
Yeah,
I think it's just
it
one
is.
Dude.
Yeah,
doing
he plays
everything.
On the
and he's fucking great. And he's young as hell and hot. No, I don't know what he looks like even, but
and he's got these
he's
twins.
One dude just like just like Coldplay, Chris Martin.
Yeah.
I like my guys gritty, like Evan and Jared. No, there's something about that where it's like cute or something to me. And I think the term sex on fire, I just hate.
Yeah.
I get that. Notice this is number 6 on my ranking.
Of course.
It's not my
favorite.
I put this in there because I appreciate that this is the song that broke them.
Sure,
you know what I mean?
Sure. No, I'm glad you put this on there.
I also agree that sex on fire is just makes me shudder with embarrassment when I hear it.
Yeah.
And like singing it is one thing, but then like seeing it in print also. Like I wish they titled it something differently.
Yeah, they
could have
named it something else. I feel like it is that. Like if it weren't named that, I think I might like it more. Listening to it, it's a good, it's not a bad song.
Yeah, the guitar
there's
parts
no,
are good.
Yeah,
like,
and like
the drum beat's good. Yeah,
absolutely. So, and I do agree with Jared that they're, It's like Coldplay, where it's like, how can you be mad when you're hearing this? It's mostly just that I don't like this guy. I don't like Caleb.
Right.
I think maybe his name is part of it. There's something about him.
Yeah.
The way he wears his shirt so deeply unbuttoned and the V-neck thing like we were talking about. Yeah. There's something about his attitude and then it's telling women their sex, telling my girlfriend. Or
he rocks a deep V. You can see that belly button cleavage.
That's always good.
Yeah.
I was telling Tom before, I think of like the mega singles, I would prefer You Somebody.
Yeah.
I would too. Because that one, the other side of me, I'm a real softy. I like a guy.
I too. Now,
despite the fact that you're ripped body.
No, my body is ripped, but my soul is soft. My soul is pudgy and out of shape. I remember hearing that song and being like, I can listen to it. Can be, it's pleasant to me, but it's not something I would turn to in times of need. this one is like aggressive. It just feels like, I don't know. It's like bro-y or something to me a little bit.
Yeah.
Just in the terms of like that sort of confidence that your sex is on fire.
Sure. There is also a tone to this song. It's like it's almost like, which is ironic because they claim that they hate that this is the song that made them famous and that they hate playing it and they hate the fan base that they attracted, you know, to them. But there's something about this tone of this song. It sounds like they're trying to make a radio hit.
Mm-hmm.
You know
Absolutely.
What I mean?
Absolutely. Sure.
It's like with it, especially with that terminology, if you put sex in a song title, that's gonna, you know,
listening to
sex
this,
sells.
Listening to this say that's exactly how I felt too. I think that's the other part of it because it's kind of nonsense,
right?
Like that phrase, and then I was like, I feel like they just wanted that because I like the music in it. Like if they putting those lyrics in seems so unnecessary, except for that when people hear that they're like, oh. Sex.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
Well, there's also something.
Someday I'm going to have
you, that. You read YouTube comments for this song and people like love it. They're like, this song is so hot. This song gets me like so turned on. This
Hell
is like baby making music. Imagine saying that to a girl.
Yeah.
Like when you're done, you roll over, you're like, your sex is on fire.
Yeah, yeah. Your sex is heating up.
I think it's also like a thing where a song like that, and U2 does this too sometimes, where it's like they make it so vague that no one could possibly not let, like, yeah. If you're on board with your sex is on fire, there's nothing that you're going to be like,
sure.
Oh, and there's never a name. Like, that's, they don't put a name in it. It's a just lot you.
Of times, yeah. A lot of times that's like that arena rock shit, yeah. because that has the ability to blow up. And that's like a criticism Coldplay gets to, because it's the lyrics can be super generic and applicable to anything. Yeah. It's like when we, the bonus Frey episode we did, I realized as we were listening to it, it's like, oh, this doesn't mean anything. Like, it doesn't, except for, like, the one abortion song or whatever. Like, everything else is,
I think,
like,
it's just called abortion song.
Yeah, yeah. Undone. Parentheses, the abortion song.
Plan B, sir.
Oh, shit. Got him. Damn.
This whole song is actually pretty rapey sounding, because if you said any of these lyrics to a girl, you'd be in hot water. It opens with "Lay where you're laying, don't make a sound,
close your legs,
yeah, close your legs."
Yeah. I know your address.
Jared's in the corner in a ski mask.
Jared Thompson, of course.
All right, let's listen to a little ditty called "Charmer."
This is Tom's least favorite. Probably my
least
favorite.
Yeah, because this really
also
showcases his voice.
Oh, yeah.
This is the screaming one. This is the fucking Moaning Myrtle over here.
Tom's about to excuse himself to throw up backstage.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Tom just got really exhausted.
That was brutal.
See, what you hate about him, I love. I love the script. It sounds like he's just gonna blow out his vocal cords all over the microphone. I like that.
Okay, interesting.
I don't hate every song that has screaming in it.
No, me neither. There are songs that I love that have screaming in it, but that, there's something about where he does it I hate. Like, yeah. It's like out of nowhere.
Startling.
It feels like it is startling. Every time it's startling, and it doesn't feel rhythmic to me. It's just like,
well, there's like one too many. Like, he's doing it kind of on a beat, but then he'll throw it in just to like fuck with you.
And it's like, it's so unpleasant to me.
It's the vocal equivalent of tricking a 16-year-old into coming on tour with you.
No, it's like his voice at times like that is like nails on a chalkboard to me.
And times like these.
And times like these, I learned to
because
hate
of the
his
times.
Voice again. Yeah, yeah.
Sign of the times. We just go back and forth for an hour. Are we playing a drinking game now?
Times New Roman. So, yeah. So you like that. You like when he... I don't mind. You like this bullshit.
I like the screen. He's getting down to brass tacks here. Enough diplomacy. I like the scream. I love his voice. I like the screaming, and I like the instrumental of that song too. I like the propulsion.
Yeah, that I don't mind. That
the crunchy bass rip. I like that.
I think that's part of it. Is I was listening to this song while I was getting ripped, and I was like starting to get into it, and then that scream happened, and I was like, I just can't not. It like made me sick a little bit. I was just
throwing
like,
up,
what almost, the fuck is
you almost
this?
Threw up your muscle milk.
I blew my muscle milk into a tissue,
into a napkin. Yeah.
Well, then instead of sawdust, he puts whey protein powder on it to cover it up.
Oh, I'm going to dump out whey protein?
Is this your
joke
new
objection? Yeah, so, yeah, that is my least favorite of this playlist, I'm going to say.
Okay.
I think the next one I enjoyed, if I...
The next four are undeniable.
Well,
ooh,
we'll
undeniable.
See about that. I'm wrong. That's not the one. I think this is one I did enjoy. So the next one is Soft.
Like Tom's interior.
Yeah.
dust around your fucking soul. A dust to all your fucking soul.
Curse words?
I love you with your nose bleeding and your toes creeping around. I was so mundane and incomplete. I made down my pants and get me off the street. I'm passed out in your garden. I'm in, I can't get off. So now I find myself in your body. I come and do your party, boy.
So that one I love. I'm into that one. That was because I don't think he does
you
any
find
bullshit
songs
with
about
his voice.
Erectile dysfunction. Very relatable.
I get that. No, it's yeah. I like the melody the whole way through. I love that he doesn't do the thing with his voice that I don't like.
Yeah.
When he just sings like that, I like it.
Right.
It's not. He's capable of it.
Rain
why
it in,
do
Caleb.
This, Caleb. Caleb, unbutton a button.
Yeah.
No, I hear it the other way. Button it up and sing like that, and then you got me. I like that one. That's pretty. It's fun. It's got like a fun beat to it at times.
Right.
It's
funny.
A good time. It feels
funny.
Summery. It's funny. Yeah, it's good. That I enjoyed. Why that one? Tommy, what do you think?
Yeah, I liked it.
Yeah?
Yeah.
All right. Let's hear. Let's see. This is King of the Rodeo. So this is a different singer, I'm told. Is that right?
Really?
Somebody, okay, so I didn't check up on this. Somebody was in one of the articles I was reading, somebody was arguing about how they hate his voice, and like they were saying, I don't like this band, and they were like, oh, if you don't like his voice, listen to King of the Rodeo, because that's a different singer. But then I was listening to it, and
does
it definitely sounds
screamy shit in this song.
Yeah, that's what I thought. I was very confused. I'm going to look this up before we listen to it just to check. Actually, I can do this while we're listening to it. Why not?
He sold a pure tea at 7 in the morning. I sent him on a pigeon toe and his disarray. Stay there on the pigeon toes. He's coming round to meet you. And seeming like a battle cry. It's more if I stay.
That's enough of that.
I really like the guitar parts on. I think the guitar parts are great.
Yeah.
He's doing some enunciation things
that's
that
what
I don't care for.
That's
yeah.
exactly what I don't like about it. Because, the sound of that one, I'm into. The instruments are good. But, yeah, that... there's something about
it's
what
too,
he's
like,
doing
clipped.
There. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I will say... This song was used in the season premiere of the second season of Entourage in an episode titled The Boys Are Back in Town. Next song. I just was reading the song facts because I was trying to find the thing. Yeah,
so
that
no
one,
Glee,
like.
But Entourage is okay.
Yeah.
Douchey indeed.
No, yeah. I don't like Entourage. I actually never watched Entourage.
I never did either.
You have?
Yeah.
Oh, interesting. Who's your favorite character?
Turtle.
Hell yeah. All right,
most similar in stature. Every show, whoever's the most similar to me in stature, I pick as my favorite.
Damn. All right, let's hear. So you like Walt Jr. in Breaking Bad. Interesting.
You're talking about Flynn?
Oh, yeah, that's the name. You don't look anything like it. I was trying to think of a Breaking Bad guy. None of them are good.
Hank would have been the choice for that.
Damn.
Comedically.
Right. Yeah, you're right. I couldn't remember the characters. It's been a while. Here's California Waiting.
This is about waiting at the California Pizza Kitchen for a damn table.
I feel too close to be a losing time.
I'm going to say something that's going to fucking shock you, dude. I like that song, and I like the screaming in that song.
Ooh. Yeah,
because there's a build to it.
Right.
It's different. Like, it's like what I hated about the other one is it's this out of nowhere, ah! him just screaming. Yeah! Now I hate Tommy. Yeah. Anybody who scares me, I don't like. No, there's just something I love when somebody builds to what feels like an emotional release
in
a song.
Yeah.
That felt like. His screaming in this one feels cathartic, and what he's singing about feels a little bit more like raw and like honest. There's something more I like about it. I feel like that one's more genuine,
sure,
and less like I'm just gonna show people I can scream. I'll show them what's what.
Believe it or not, I feel like that is a formula that they use from time to time. Is that at the end of quite a few of their songs, he just starts to go nuts.
Mm-hmm.
Sure.
And I kind
of
love that.
I'm not
like
opposed
that.
To that. That's a formula that I don't mind.
It's just when it's kind of out of nowhere.
A lot of bands that do that, where they end with a breakdown. Wilco does that shit all the time. Not with the screaming necessarily, but instruments. Like they'll just, they're throwing their instruments against a wall for some reason for 45 minutes. But I don't mind that. And I can get into. One of my favorite songs is... Oh, wait, they don't do it lyrically. Never mind.
Song of the South?
That's right. I was going to say Loud Places from Jamie XX, because they do that instrumentally where it just builds into this thing, and like all of it in like minute four comes together, and it's like it's awesome, and it feels like chaotic. That's like kind of how his singing is there to me, where it's like... I like that one. That one's good.
It sounds like he's like speaking in tongues. It's like he's seen... too many of his father's sermons.
can you see too many sermons, though?
You don't give that a...
Can you get too close to God?
Oh, my God. That one got a little extra oomph from those text messages you were getting while it was playing out of your phone. They really upped the bass on that. Yeah.
Damn. By the way, don't push me because I'm close to my God.
Oh, my God.
This is Tranny.
This is Tranny. Back in the good old days when you could say Tranny.
Well, it's spelled like...
it's spelled wrong.
Yeah, earlier I said...
Find the right word, and it was wrong.
Earlier I said to Tommy, I was like, oh, I don't know if it's called Tranny or Tranny. He goes, oh, it's definitely Tranny. I was like, I just don't want to say it.
Wouldn't it be great if they just didn't know how to spell the word train?
Like, oh, fuck. Hookers are hanging out at the bar near the Greyhound station, and the bare-chested boys are going down. The thing that the mama believed, bag of skulls and little bump of cocaine, help you feel not so strange. Said, oh, Paul, she don't get off unless somebody's standing near. And she'll shine once she's crossed the line. She's all tied to a jail, isolating on the count, throwing white noise sound like a Chinese on tin. So that was Tranny. what are the feelings on this song?
Well, it's my number one.
This is your number one.
That's my favorite Kings of Leon song.
This is number one.
That's the ultimate crescendo. I mean, he just goes fucking nuts at the end there. I love it. I mean, he's feeling it.
Uh-huh.
You know, he's totally behind it.
Yeah.
And he's just like, I like how it's kind of a slow, sloppy strum along
to the sound, the start,
you know?
Yeah. I like the guitar in it a lot.
Yeah.
What is "like a tranny on a 10 mean?
That's the thing. I was reading the lyrics earlier. They make zero sense at all.
I don't understand.
All a lot I know of talk is about tying people to chairs.
Yeah,
this guy.
I'm reading the lyrics.
His cousin
I'm
to the
so
chair,
confused.
Kept held him hostage, staying to keep him in the band, tying tranny.
I think if we looked into the Kings of Leon's basements right now, yeah, we would find people. Cheap Trick hookers that are hanging out at the bar in the Greyhound station. I don't love this song lyrically. All the bubbas got their heads in a nod. I want to know what the chumbas are doing. Call back to the last episode. Settled Pa, she don't get off unless somebody's standing near. And she'll shine when she's crossed the line, hands all tied to the chair. Yeah, it feels weird. This song's odd to me. This one doesn't do it for me as much. But it's your number one, and we appreciate this playlist, as we do all playlists.
I mean, you can't scream any more than that. I like to think at the end of the song, his head just fucking explodes.
Yeah, so that's another one where I didn't mind him screaming in that one as much. Yeah. There's just a couple things he does with his voice in it that I find irritating.
Right.
Where it's like cute again, but it's when I was listening to that earlier, I hated it. And now listening to it again, I didn't hate it as much. And maybe it's because it's playing out of my iPhone speakers instead of directly in my ears.
Screaming is muffled.
It's distorted a little, and I'm like, hell yeah. People don't appreciate iPhone on a wooden table sound. Like, that's the new
it's meant to be listened to.
That's the new vinyl, as far as I'm concerned, putting an iPhone in a bowl. So I do like that song. I like the instruments in that song, too. I think that they're good. I think that they can be a good band.
Yeah.
I think that his voice gets in the way for me a lot of times. I think lyrically they're trash sometimes.
Right.
But I'm not as that one I turned on a little bit. And call me a turncoat if you will, Tommy. I know it's in your eyes. Oh, no. Tommy, what do you think about this playlist?
So I'm going to go. Kings of Leon were one of the bands in college that, like, I've mentioned this before, there was, like, alternative rock bands that you were kind of allowed to like,
sure,
and this was one of them. So I really liked them in college. I never hated them. I feel mostly what Jared said, where it's kind of like, I don't see anything to hate. I like them fine, so because of that, I'm giving them right down the middle, 3 out of 6, but because it's the year of generosity, so 3.1 out of 6.
I'm shocked by this 3.1. I really thought you were going to go higher, but
I think I mentioned this time earlier. If there could be a 6 songs that were picked just from, like, if it was right from the ones that I liked in college, I would have, you know what I mean?
That happens. Right.
Yeah,
because we rate on the playlist, not the band or the person. Because if it was
people react very personally.
Yeah, yeah. Mike, I mean, you heard Mike's second episode.
Right.
His first episode, he turned very angry. Yeah. We cut the mics before he turned violent.
Yeah.
He was covered in gabagool. We served him gabagool, of course. So
you judge based on the playlist?
It's just based on the playlist.
Oh, man.
So for me, yeah, it felt like a 3 out of 6 for the playlist.
So for the playlist, you're going 3.1 out of 6.
You're voting on my livelihood here. Those that you can't see, they have me in a dunk tank right now.
Dunk tank of pigeon shit.
So you guys heard me say that I liked Soft. I did enjoy that. California Waiting, I enjoyed. So those are two. I hate Charmer so much. I don't appreciate what they did in the Conan Green Room. That's my friend as far as I'm
Oh, my God. Fuck off. You roll your eyes when I say I had a tweet go viral.
I didn't roll my eyes. That's in your head. Although, come on.
why don't you text your buddy, see what he thinks of these guys?
Hey, CB.
CB? It's C-O. Is he OB, maybe? Cobb. He asked that I call him that.
Oh, wow. The salad man.
I can't say that I don't So the problem with Sex on Fire, it is a banger. Like, at the end of the day, yeah. If it comes on, I'm not really mad. I just get irritated too much. But I'm not, you know, I'm not kicking it out of bed for eating crackers or whatever people say. Tranny feels like... I feel weird saying the title a bunch. I don't love it. I was going to go 3, and because of Tommy's year of generosity, I have to balance out his number, so I'm going to give it a 2.9.
Oh, man.
Which is at a right even
which
3.
Which is right at 3, which I think is fair.
I thought you were going to go way lower. I thought you were going to give it like a 1.
I kind of wanted to, but it didn't feel fair after I listened again. And I like Soft enough to not give it. Mm-hmm. Oh, I feel like that would be wrong to give it a 1. I do think if it were... Part of me wants to change it now because I don't like Sex on Fire. So Sex on Fire, I'm giving like a 0.3. And between King of the Rodeo and Tranny, I'm giving them like more than 0. Mm-hmm. Because I think they're better than that, but I don't enjoy them truly. So I think 2.9 is fair, and I'm going to stick with it. Doug, what do you give this playlist?
10 out of 10.
Okay, well, it's out of 6.
Now we can use our mathematic minds to scale that down.
Yeah, no, we
can't. You figure it out.
We cannot.
Well, let me just defend myself by saying that if I was going to pick 6 undeniable songs of theirs, I probably would have picked entirely from their second album. I just wanted to give you guys a full scope. Full scope of how they've evolved. And I went back. I think I went backwards. I started from their most recent music and went back to their oldest stuff.
Do not mix this up. I like what you did. I think I told you. I like how you did this because it's personalized.
I mean,
it
no
should
digging.
Be this.
No diggity. Honestly. I gotta back it up.
Tommy will back it up. Oh, he turned into Terranova.
Okay. I'm gonna back it up. I'm serious.
I'll back it up.
No, if you come in here with your diggity, I'm gonna bag it up. I swear to God.
Oh, man.
Diggity looks a little dirty. You better double bag it up.
I like that song, Tranny. What's that about?
Damn. All right. That's great. Let's wrap this thing up. Doug, bag it so up. Much. Let's bag it up. you said it. Is there anything you'd like to promote there, Doug?
When does this come out? Is this coming?
This will be in 2 weeks.
Oh, 2 weeks?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Well, we got a show tomorrow night, but that ain't happening.
Well, you know what?
See you in hell first Saturday of every month UCB. Hell's Kitchen.
Oh, that's right. They moved it.
They moved
well,
it.
Well, now the we name makes more sense.
Oh, yeah. Whoa, that's
See
crazy.
Hell's Kitchen.
Man, that really worked out.
Right? midnight first Saturday of every month, UCB Hell's Kitchen.
Hell yeah. Check that out. Add Doug on Twitter. Are you big on Twitter?
I'm not big on Twitter. I you know what's funny?
You should go viral like Tommy.
I did not post anything on Instagram in like 2 or 3 years for some reason because I got a new phone and I just like didn't bother to download the app.
Yeah.
And once I finally did, I was like, this is the most fun of all the social
media. Yeah, that's
media.
The best one.
It is the best one, yeah.
It is the best one for sure. So it's also the biggest time suck, though, I think.
Yeah, absolutely.
Now that stories are on there.
Yeah, it is a huge time suck.
Someday I'm going to... when my child is laying down to bed, I'm going to play Instagram stories for them.
Oh, my God.
They go to sleep. Dad, Papa, play me the stories.
And then he's going to play you Charmer and be like, you will like this.
Oh, no. come see me and Tommy McNamara at Caroline's on Broadway.
125.
Home of the Big Apple. 125 at 9:30 p.m. It's going to be a fun time. Stand by your band live. And follow Tommy at Tommy McNam. And check out his website for more details. I don't remember where I'm going to be the rest of the month. It's in my calendar. It's on my site. If you just Google me or whatever, you'll figure it out. We like to end the show by saying, keep it crispy. It's a little thing we think is fun. So on the count of 3, we'll say, keep it crispy. 1, 2, 3.
Keep it crispy.
Wow!
Domestic violence is wrong.
Stand by your man.